I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast of Glass Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
If you were to make a list of all the podcasts in the world, this one would have to be on it. That's about all I can offer you for this episode. Seriously, though, this week we will be talking about a myriad of things. We're going to talk about our new shirt design. We talk about Hamilton the musical, if you can believe it or not. We talk about the conservation legislation that kind of went through in the past week or two. We touch on the great Jim Posowitz and the impacts he's had on conservation across the landscape. Nate's talking about saddle hunting. All that and much more is coming your way right now. What's new, Em?
What's new is people are blowing up Hallett Insurance.
Fletcher Hallett, Hallett Insurance, blowing up his phone.
I'm not even on social media anymore. I'm getting messages that people are finally, like, the ad has worked. They can't stop singing the song. They're calling Fletch.
Emily is basically, Nate, Emily is basically like the jingle writer extraordinaire with the double the L's, double the T's and Hallett Insurance, because it is blown up to mammoth proportions. So if you
the Pied Piper of Hallett Insurance.
And of tacos, my friend. They just don't know it. I wrote their jingle too.
Oh, snap. I'm going to hear that.
Continue. So if you have not called Fletcher Hallett, 904-315-5812, car, boat, business, whatever, give him a call. Home insurance, hurricane season's here. We're in it. No hurricanes yet, but they're coming. Y'all know they're coming.
It's like you're throwing words at the wall to see what will stick.
Yeah. No, that's
hurricane, boat, house, insurance, Fletcher, money.
It's like when Leslie Knope is trying to sell snake juice in that one episode, and she's just walking around, high-end, VIP. Of Parks and Rec. Anyway, give Fletcher a call, 904-315-5812. You can call or text him, or you can send him an email, fhallett@hallettins.com. How would they know how to spell Hallett, Emily?
Double the L's and double the T's, Hallett, for all your insurance needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great what's new.
That is a great what's new. What's new with you?
So many things new with me.
Should Nate do his what's new first?
Yeah, we haven't even included Nate in the show
Nathan.
Yet.
Nathan.
What's new with you?
I'm here. I'm alive. I'm well. That's what's new. No, I've been, and for, this won't make any sense to you two, but because neither one of you deer hunt, but I've been looking into saddle hunting. Have you seen this?
Oh, no. Are you going to have to change to start your own podcast with all the saddle hunting guys, or all you talk about is saddle hunting all the time?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes.
But I've been looking into it, and I'm super intrigued by it, and I'm just throwing this out there to the listeners.
Do you wear the saddle or the deer?
You wear the saddle, and then you jump on top of the deer and ride the deer. That's how you hunt. That's how you do.
Explain.
I'm super in on that.
Explain saddle hunting to Emily, because she has no idea what you're describing.
Basically, saddle hunting is where, you know how you have a tree stand that's like a fixed thing made of metal in the tree. Well, saddle hunting is you climb up and you actually like hang yourself. You're wearing the saddle around your like hip area and you hang it.
Stop.
And you just lean back. It's like a line. It's like a lineman's belt, like a guy working on a telephone.
You mean
pole
a
or something.
Swing?
It's like a swing.
See, I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go there. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And this is a whole rage. Like, there's a whole podcast.
Whole niche
where people talk about saddle hunting all the time. And now Nate's bringing it into our world, and I'm mad about it. I'm releasing Nate. Can we do releases now?
I feel like I need to turn my phone off, because if my TikTok feed gets any weirder, I'm going to get arrested. And now it's got me talking about swings and saddles.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm in the beginning research stages.
Okay.
And I'll get back to that on my release a little later. But I'm throwing it out to the interwebs. I'm going to get a lot of, like, I'm going to regret this. But if anybody has any tips, tricks, tactics, please let me know.
I am sorry. I have so many follow-up questions.
Yeah, here's
what,
a tip.
First of all, why? Like,
how
what
dare
is the,
you?
What is
not,
the
so the point is to be lighter. These tree stands weigh a lot. Like a lot of a tree stand, like a light, quote unquote light tree stand weighs 15 or 20 pounds. And these saddles with sticks is like a total of maybe 10 pounds if you get the right stuff. And it's very versatile. You can get up into almost any tree. You don't have to worry about like limbs and stuff like that, because you can step your sticks around the limbs and stuff and get into areas that you may not be able to get to with a normal tree stand. And for public land hunting, when you can't like leave your stand out all the time, you just, you wear it in and you wear it out. It's just like really, really simple. So,
yeah, so the complete set is the bino harness and the swing.
Oh, there's no one in a saddle without a bino harness. You can't get in a saddle
it's
without
the,
a bino.
It's the male equivalent of lingerie for hunting.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's the broad panty set.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Wow.
I have a question.
Okay.
How dare you?
You know, I'm a man of the people, man. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the trends in the outdoor hunting world and over here, and all I'm doing is getting flack for it.
So. I'm two thumbs up on this. In fact, I don't understand why we wouldn't use this for duck hunting.
Because you don't want duck hunting the trees.
But you do. So, okay, follow my logic. Instead of having to put the duck boat on like the shore of, for example, an island, like a mangrove island, you could just walk to the beach and hang yourself off a mangrove tree.
No, you can't
dangle your toesies in
First
the water.
Off, that's like a felony or something because mangroves are basically endangered. You can't do anything you just said. You have no idea about anything with that. That was terrible. That was terrible. You can't
All
do
right.
that.
I'm going to go back to what I was doing.
Nate, here's my suggestion to you is to unsubscribe from this podcast and subscribe to every other podcast in the Southeast United States, and you'll be fine. You'll be up to speed on saddles.
Yep.
In like 5 minutes.
Planning on it. Planning
can we,
on it.
Can we bring a saddle expert into this podcast?
No. No, I'm putting my foot down. We're not talking to a
we
saddle.
We hunt deer in Florida.
Yes, but we're not talking to a saddle expert because there's a gajillion of them out there because it's not a real thing. It's not a real thing. Everyone and their brother has done 4,000 podcasts on saddle hunting. We're not talking saddle hunting. Like, go listen to them. They're good. I'm not knocking them. I'm saying they're good.
Do any of them have like leather, like
chaps.
What are they made of?
I'm gonna stop you right there. Stop you right there.
Just wondering.
Wow.
Maybe some spikes.
Yeah.
What's new with you, Travis? Let's move on.
Let me. Okay. Bunch of new stuff. I'm gonna do the quick hit on the conservation stuff. A lot of legislative updates last week, and I'm not gonna go into detail on any of that stuff at all. But I am gonna kind of high end it. We had House Bill 1091 passed. That's the sewage bill that was Gruters and Randy Fine kind of co-sponsored that bill. And what it did, it's gotten a lot of flack in the environmental community, but it's also a bill paying attention to sewage and septic spills, which is a thing that's been going on. So is it perfect? No, it's far from it. But at the same time, we have this tendency in the outdoors world to be upset about everything all the time. Like, it's our wokeness. We're always offended. We're always hyper. I think this was a bill that was a nod in the right direction. Like,
it's not perfect, but it's something.
It's not perfect, but it's something. It basically allows for the increase of fines for sewage leaks. So it increases the penalties. I think the penalties are still pretty light for what they are, but at the end of the day, it's better than not doing anything about anything. So, and it's paying attention to a major issue. I think we have a spill every 3 days or something like that on average. Like, it's just terrible what's going on in Florida. There's a huge spill right now along Boat Key. It was talked about in our group last week. That was the first thing that passed. Governor DeSantis in the budget review left the toll road budget intact because there was a lot of question around with the COVID-19 and funding being moved around. Would that stay intact? It's kind of a bummer to see that stay in there. And like I said, I'm not making political statements on these. I'm just going through some of the highlights we saw. The Nature Coast Aquatic Preserve was created. Governor DeSantis did sign that into a bill. That was pretty cool. That spans three counties. I think it's Hernando, Citrus, and I forget the other one over on the West Coast.
Pasco, maybe.
That's a good one, Nate. Maybe. Pasco. I don't know. My geography's off right there with the counties. Anyway, it spans three counties, and it's basically protecting the wetlands, the grass areas of the inshore area. There was some pushback on that. We had some questions raised in our group about that. Mm. Would it affect duck hunting?
Yeah. It's just in. It is Citrus, Hernando, and Pasco.
Boom. There you go.
Boom.
I should have known that because I've got family history in Pasco like to 1880 or something like that. Like, we were there a long time. So, Nate, you're ahead of me on my thing. Anyway, Nature Coast Aquatic Preserve. It's a huge, huge swath. It's supposed to not affect duck hunting. That was a question a lot of folks asked. It's supposed to not affect scalloping. It's supposed to not affect any recreational use or recreational take. Then the other thing that was on there was in a budget, in the state budget, there was about $1 billion in cuts, but they left Florida forever. So conservation was not without a win. So I'm not a political junkie on this stuff. I'm not saying this was all good or this was all bad. I am saying I recognize these are kind of unprecedented times we're trying to navigate through. So it feels like, yeah, there was some stuff I didn't like that was in there, but there was also some stuff I liked a lot that was in there. So feels like kind of like what compromise feels like, right?
Right.
No one gets 100% win at the end of a day. So anyway, I'll probably dig more into those bills as time goes on, but I just wanted to kind of quick hit talk about them because we've gotten so many questions and messages and posts and stuff about them.
Is that something you might dive into more on like a Thursday show forum?
Maybe. We may dive into that more, or we may even do a one-off podcast somewhere talking more about some of those conservation issues specifically.
Yeah. So for anybody that's new to the show, welcome. Our Tuesday show is like funny. Like I want to talk about how Britney Spears is trending on Twitter.
Yeah. That's.
We also hit on conservation topics and stuff in Florida, but the Thursday show is where we super deep dive. Travis deep dives with experts into conservation, water quality, wildlife management, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. We call that show Conversations. The other thing, this is interesting. I'm glad you segued it that way. Next week, I have no idea what our show formats will look like. And the reason is, it's iCast week. And iCast is a virtual iCast this year. And I alluded to last week, I'm going to be doing some stuff with FWC next week. We may actually release a show every day next week that's like a shorter show. Or I may release three shows or whatever that's talking about some of the programs that they do, some of the stuff going on in our state, some of the focus on iCast. I may be able to talk to some of the other nonprofits in the state and what they've got going on. So that's still kind of up in the air. I don't know, but if next week doesn't look like a normal week, forgive us for that. But my plan right now is there may be two or three episodes that are centered around the Trophy Catch program and Catch a Florida Memory and the Artificial Reefs program. And it'll be really, some of those are things you may not want to hear an hour and a half discussion with somebody on, but a 15 or 20 minute discussion you find fascinating because it really gives you insight into this thing that a lot of these I'm learning about as I walk through. So really excited about doing that with FWC. We're going to talk about conservation funding for sport fish restoration, where that comes from. It's going to be a good week. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to kind of give a break from our normal format, and then we'll be back the week after that, back to regular Tuesday, Thursday. So those are all my what's news. This week is a little bit of a listicle. We could just keep going with what's news the way we're going on our board over there.
But we could. I could do another one.
Go.
Y'all, we got the coolest t-shirts for sale.
Dude, they look so good.
They are. If you're not on social media, basically it's the concept is we took the state of Florida flag and recreated it with text. But every text is a shout out to some place in Florida, like a fishing spot or a hunting spot or I don't know what
else. And they're very colloquial names. Like some of them are pretty well known, but a lot of them are places that are you would only know if you were in that area. So we don't say Lake Okeechobee. We say Harney Pond. We don't say Lake Istipoga. We say Bumblebee. We don't say... Like we try to get very right. specific into the colloquial
Florida
or
stuff.
Local, yeah, Ghost Point or Cattle Dock Point or whatever. Like we try to really get into
right.
the smaller, more localized things. And I love that because the only way you would get that is like, you'll see it's the Florida flag. By the way, I feel like I've always wanted to say this on the podcast. It's dope. I don't know if I've ever said it like
Jeez,
that,
oh
but
man.
I just love the way that sounds. Nate, it's bad to the bone, right?
It's great. It looks awesome. It looks unbelievable. I'm
excited
to get one.
Designed by us, orchestrated by Haley Jackson.
Haley did the design work. I threw the concept
Jackson's
out there
printing.
And said, this is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she came back with.
Yeah, and it is awesome.
So we can connect you with her if you need design work done.
Yeah. But so, okay, we're doing a limited run of these shirts. We're only selling them through July 9th. This podcast is dropping on July 7th. So if you want a shirt, you need to send an email to travis@castandblastfl.com. Let us know what size, how many, and they're $25 and that includes shipping.
They are 50-50 poly blend, cotton poly blend.
Gray.
They are the same shirt that we got the Conservation Isn't Convenient printed on. So they're a next level I wouldn't say it's a slim fit. I think it fits like it's supposed to fit.
No, it fits really well, and it's the only shirt of that type of material that really fits me well in the right size. Like, same. A lot of times I have to size up for those, but that one that really sizes well, and it's like my favorite shirt. I wear it all the time. So
we're getting it printed on the front, so it'll be a light. It's called dark heather gray, but it's really a light heather gray. And we're getting it printed kind of on the chest, on the front, the full size flag. So I'm so pumped about that. If you still want one, you hear this, shoot me a message, like get a hold of me somehow. We'll get an invoice to you. And if you hear this and you have not gotten your invoice yet, let me know or check your email, because I'm going to send these out. I'm recording this and going to send them out tomorrow before this drops. So anyway, that was confusing to say in podcast language. I'm going to send the invoices out on Monday. And you should see them. You should have already seen them by Tuesday. Anyway, the shirts are awesome.
That was a little microcosm of what it's like to go through a drive-thru with Travis.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
He says everything totally backwards and confuses everyone.
Nate, I feel like we do talk a little bit of pop culture on here from time to time, and I feel like we do need to mention, did you watch Hamilton this weekend?
No, but I've seen it in person.
Yeah, you saw it live.
I've seen it live. Not, it's off Broadway cast, but
right.
You know, some of us got to see the original Broadway cast.
You know how it do.
So yeah, have you told that story before on here that you?
I don't think we had the show when I went. Did
so,
we?
So quickly, kind of hit the highlights of.
Really quick. So, I was obsessed with the show before like America got into it, and the cast was wrapping up. The original Broadway cast was wrapping up their run, so. Tickets were crazy expensive, but I was like, God, I would just like, that would be one of the highlights of my life to see the original Broadway cast. Travis surprised me, bought me a ticket and a flight. Literally, I was there and back in 24 hours. And it was like 3 days before, I think the cast ended their run on July 31st. I went on July 25th. So they were literally setting up the lights and the cameras to film what is now on Disney Plus while I was there, which was pretty neat. Anyway, really, really long story short, my sister-in-law ended up coming with one of her friends was ushering in the Richard Rogers Theater.
Our daughter got to go too.
The night we were there. And he found us, took us onto the stage. We got to meet Lin-Manuel Miranda, David Diggs, the whole cast. I have pictures with Lin-Manuel Miranda on my phone.
Right.
And it was just like, I don't know, a once in a lifetime crazy string of coincidences and the best night ever. So it was really special to rewatch it, knowing they were filming it while we were there. And now it just hit Disney Plus this weekend. It was the 4th of July and Travis got to see it. And yeah, I cried a lot. It was fantastic.
I had never seen it and I highly recommend it. I was blown away. I thought
it's
it was
great. It's amazing. Even if you don't like Broadway shows, stuff like that, it's really good.
The only thing I will say that's even remotely political about it is what I wrote on Facebook. And I think you saw this, Nate. I just think it's amazing. We live in a cancel culture, and I don't want to go much more beyond that. But we live in a cancel culture, but I think it's amazing that we almost have forgotten from 2016 that we have this cast of minorities up there portraying the founding fathers. And we live in this country that was based on the founding fathers and the principles and everything else. And that's not to celebrate them as slaveholders or whatever they were, but it's also to say that's not all they were. They were men right. of ideals and of principles, and what they have built has stood the test of time, and we've been able to grow and progress. And how awesome is it that in 2016, they're able to put on this play. And it was, I thought it was fascinating and cool. It made me feel very patriotic at the end of it.
Right. Yeah. No, it does give you a lot of like pride as a American when you watch it, I feel like. And, I like to say when people start talking about like one aspect of people or, you know, like whatever, like, I like to say like, they're a whole ass person. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I'm a whole ass person. Like, I'm not just like one thing. And, you know, George Washington was a whole ass person. And Thomas Jefferson was a whole ass. Like, you know, so like we got to think about people in a broader sense instead of just like this one thing about them. Now, yeah, we can condemn that one thing about them. It's fine. But let's not just like throw the baby out with the bathwater with all this stuff. Right.
It's the totality of a person. It's the totality of men. Right.
Right. Right.
We've talked about that anyway, on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, but to your point on your post, like, we have a cast full of minorities playing these people in a play. And, you know, what does that say about a country when you can have this, right?
Right.
Where you can, like, sit there and watch this happen. And it's, so I think it's really cool. I liked your post. So I thought it was very well thought out.
Each and every person cannot, no one in our history can understand. I think I said it this way. I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but no one in history can understand, can withstand the scrutiny of today. Like they're right. All flawed. Everyone is flawed if you go back through history and dig through it. And as a history buff, I just love that. I love the whole thing of it. I love the way you said that, like the totality of the person, a whole ass person. So anyway, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on pop culture, but you have anything to add to that?
No. Well, yes. Okay. So one of the very last lines of the last few minutes of the show is, "America, you great unfinished symphony you sent for me."
Right.
And it's just like, I like that thought going along with like, yeah, these are flawed people and they were building something, but we are all still building the thing. And so, yeah, let's change it. If we don't like it, it's going to change and that's fine.
It's constant. It's a great experiment.
Totally.
It's the great experiment. Other thing following up on the 4th of July, I feel like this is important and I feel like you failed us on this front, Nathan.
Oh my gosh. What?
I'm pointing fingers at you because I happen to know that you were nowhere near your pellet grill this weekend.
I was nowhere near my pellet grill. You are correct.
Such a letdown because what I did this weekend was I threw down on the pellet grill.
Travis took did our really? Bus to school.
Yeah.
He made the best ribs
literally
I've ever had.
Figuratively?
Yep.
Oh, not butts, but ribs. I got
Oh, that would have been okay. Really funny.
Man, you could have really.
Dang it.
I'm going to give
an opportunity right there.
I'm going to give a shout out to Scott Pinka, who turned me on to Cosmos Q. Have you heard of this?
No.
Cosmos Q is the seasoning, and I picked some up at the local place. He was like raving about it, and I got the Honey Killer Bee and put that on my baby back ribs, and dude, it was the truth.
They were incredible. The best I've ever had.
Cosmos Q.
It was so good. I picked up the seasoning and I'm like, why is this so good? And I look at it. Guess what the first ingredient is?
Sugar.
MSG, baby.
It's sugar. Oh. We just ate sugar-coated meat and it was delicious.
Hey, zero calories. Zero calories.
There's no way that was zero calories.
It's zero calories. FDA reviews it. The other thing. Oh, we got a new ad. So we gotta
warm y'all up on this.
Yeah, so we're gonna teach you a little bit about what it is, and then we'll get into a jingle or something down the road. Who knows? Emily may have quit writing jingles for all I know. She may be done, but I do have a suggestion for this one. Anyway, the new ad is for
a public adjuster.
Do you know what that is, Nathan?
Vaguely. So no is the answer to that question. No.
So the ad is for Harrell Adjusting Service. It's Harrell. Adjusting, and you can
double
find them.
The R's and double the L's.
That you stole my joke that I was going to make.
Whoa,
sorry.
Anyway, Harrell Adjusting Services, Craig Harrell. He's a listener of the show, friend of the show, and he has started a public adjusting service. And so I can explain this so it doesn't interfere with Fletcher either. What a public adjuster does is if an insurance agent or an insurance adjuster goes out and looks at your property, and let's say you got $10,000 worth of damage, it gets written up and everything else, insurance company goes to pay you. A public adjuster can make sure that they didn't miss anything. So nothing egregious, nothing out of line. Who knows? I used to work as an insurance adjuster and I would forget to like replace light fixtures or anything like that. A person like Craig can actually look at your adjustment and say, this is wrong. That's right. So it's worth a call. It's worth checking out his website. We'll get more into the details of what he does and give you some stories and some successes and everything else. But this is not a thing that is like in opposition to insurance. It's a thing that can complement it if you have a flood, a fire, any kind of catastrophe, any kind of insurance claim in your house. If you feel like you're not getting what you're supposed to be getting, it's worth talking to one of these folks about it because we're all human. It goes just into what we were just talking about, right? So you can check them out on Facebook. It's Harrell Adjusting, Harrell Adjusting. Double the R's, double the L's. You can go to...
Harrell, wet your whistle and ring your bells. I would say go find the Facebook page or whatever and go ahead and follow it because we're heading into hurricane season.
Yeah, they can be very helpful in hurricanes.
Yeah, and in the event you needed like a huge claim, that would be like a lifesaver because whatever they get you extra money-wise, they get a kick, you get a kick, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, so. It's found money is what they call it. Anyway, check out Harrell Adjusting, Craig Harrell, friend of the show. Now, I want to take a little more serious turn because we did have a sad note this week in conservation circles, and that is that Jim Posowitz passed away. And, Nate, can you tell people who Jim Posowitz is if they don't know?
Yeah, so he lived in Montana. He worked for the Montana Parks and Wildlife for a long time, and he's one of the first people to kind of, he wrote a couple of books about hunting ethics, and kind of, he's on kind of par with like the Val guys and the Shane Mahoney people as far as like hunting ethics goes, right? It's like they've, he kind of wrote the book on some of these concepts. He also was like the spearhead of a huge, and I can't even remember what it was.
Orion.
It's like the Salmon River something.
Oh,
or
yeah, yeah.
It's like a big dam out there that he kind of got stopped, and like he was a huge conservation win, and he's kind of touted as just a major player in the conservation world in the United States. And he did a lot of work with a lot of different organizations over his lifetime. I mean, you can start naming them, and he probably worked
with
them.
Yeah, you could just about pick one, and he worked with them.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, he was just a incredible voice for conservation and for hunting and for ethical hunting and going beyond just the laws that are set by the state and really being, like, putting hunters as, like, trying to make them pillars of society almost more so than just good hunters and ethical hunters, you know. So he was a great pillar of conservation in America, and he will certainly be missed by many people in the country.
And I say this not lightly. He did not leave anything on the field. Like he spent his life well fighting for conservation. He founded Orion, which was an organization that was aimed at, you said it better than I did, but it was aimed at basically keeping hunters at the forefront of conservation, keeping sportsmen in that conversation, because we talk about this all the time from the Florida standpoint. If you look at the way land's going, you look at, I mean, I talked to somebody a couple weeks ago, says we got like 15 years to shape Florida. And at that point, the land's going to be gone. Like it will be in whatever use it's going to be in.
Right.
Somebody like Posowitz was looking at a grand scale of that years ago and on a much larger capacity than just Florida. Just a legend. If you saw the documentary that Ranella put out, I guess about a year ago,
right,
Stars in the Sky, Posowitz is interviewed several times in that. I think Nate has kept his book at least once, maybe twice, Beyond Fair Chase, which,
right,
which goes into the idea of we're just not out there to kill, 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 and to stack up. Like there is, we want to go the extra mile to give the game the best opportunities. So it was really, that was a sad note. I was not aware that he was sick or anything else going on. So I think it was Randy Newberg released a video with him in March where he was fishing the Snake River or something. And so super sad news. And I felt like it was important for us to touch on it because sometimes, particularly for where we are in the southeastern United States, but for us specifically in Florida, sometimes we lose track of what happens in other places conservation wise. And this is a guy that's existed on the landscape out there. And it's just,
do we know what happened to him?
I don't. I think he was older.
I mean, he was like in his 80s or something. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. No, it was a sad day for conservation, but the legacy he left was he left an imprint on the whole country as far as conservation goes.
Absolutely did. So that was Jim Posowitz passing away. I'm going to transition a little bit. Do you have any new books you're reading?
I'm reading some hunting dog books, but that's about it.
What are you reading about hunting dogs?
Well, because I'm planning on getting one next year. So I'm trying to do all my research early.
Gotcha.
About training and picking the right breeder and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So
Can I interest you in a used hunting dog?
No. I've been around that used hunting dog, and I think you guys are perfectly suited parents for that dog.
I was going to say, it wouldn't cost you anything. We could make that happen right now. Em and I have both picked up some new books. I'm going to show you what I got, Nate. People on at home cannot see it, but I picked up. So there's a guy in Florida named John Hitchcock. I don't know if he listens to our show or not, but we have a lot of mutual friends that listen to the show and everything else. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he's been doing the Origins of Conservation series on his Facebook page. And so he's posted both of these books, and I picked them both up. And one is called American Sportsman and the Origins of Conservation. And this covers George Bird Grinnell and Roosevelt and just like all the guys we talked about in the kind of the forefathers or the historical hunters draft. This talks about a whole lot of them, and it's a really well-written book. I think the first print was in like the 50s or 60s. So it's got a good context for where it's coming from. This is like the third or fourth printing of it. The other one I picked up is really cool. It's called More Waterfowl by Assisting Nature. And it was published by a group called More Game Birds in North America. And it's basically the plan with changes in agriculture and everything else. And this book, the one I'm holding, was published in 1932. And I picked it up for like, I think I told you, $15 on Amazon, like a used edition of it. And this, the group More Game Birds in North America is now referred to as Ducks Unlimited.
Oh, interesting.
So it's very really cool. This is like their first publication. And I just thought, man, that's a neat piece of waterfowling history.
Sure, absolutely. So
if you're interested in something like that, I can send you Hitch explain these a little bit better than I just did. But I just thought it was fascinating to have that and to hold it and have it on a shelf and kind of flip through it from time to time and see what's changed and what hasn't changed. And it gives you an appreciation more than almost anything else in the conservation world. Waterfowl hunting has that connection to the MBTA, right. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the turn of the century, all that stuff. So, and then you got a book you wanted to talk about that has a Roosevelt quote in it, but isn't.
I've been talking about this book every show for like a week. Yeah. So it's Theodore Roosevelt. The author is Brené Brown, and the book is called Dare to Lead, and she's written a ton of great stuff. But the quote that like really like pushed her to continue on her research and work is this one from Teddy Roosevelt. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end of triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly.
What does that mean?
Man, I feel like we could do a whole entire show or / sermon about that quote and social media and the conservation space. But I mean, to me, if you're not going to be out there in the arena daring greatly and failing, don't be the critic.
Roll up your sleeves.
Yeah. Just sit quietly.
Which I want to say this, like pivoting that just a hair onto our listeners. Our listeners show up. That's something we've talked about ad nauseum for a long time. But like back during the spray meetings, back during the Kissimmee Lake meeting, like our listeners show up. And we appreciate that. Like for a long time, it's easy to walk around and go to these meetings and go participate in this stuff and feel like you're the only person. Like you almost create your own little echo chamber where you kind of feel sorry for yourself. And there's a lot of ways you could chase that. But I definitely feel like these days we're not alone in that arena. And that's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
But I think there's also like a responsibility for people who are not in the arena, who might be in power, to have their organizations listen to the people in the arena in Florida.
Yeah.
Because it's a very different view to be fighting hand to hand. So, you know, the metaphor continues, hand to hand combat for conservation in Florida versus watching from an office in Montana. You know what I mean? Is that a little specific? Just a metaphor.
Yeah, we'll let it slide.
It's fine.
Anyway, no, I appreciate that. And I do think you're right. Like Nate and I could probably spend 3 hours talking about that and debating about it. And I think it's a good conversation. I think it's a worthy conversation.
I just think Theodore Roosevelt and a bunch of those guys would have a freaking field day with social media right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine Teddy with his Twitter account?
Can you imagine Hamilton? He could never write a 140 character tweet in his life.
No, well, it's 280 now.
Well, there you go.
But he'd still be limited.
Same.
Okay, it is time. We are moving through this episode with the speed and aplomb of the incomparable Robin Williams. Yes. That's a community quote for you guys there, TV junkies.
You need some new jokes.
That's the only fast joke I have. That's what she said.
Oh my God.
It is time for Keep and Release, the most popular segment of every show, brought to you by Two Fish Creative.
Oh no, I forgot to look up my thing. You go.
Brought to you by Two Fish Creative. E-commerce, cloud-based software, web, mobile app development, operating systems, legacy software modernization, CRM, ERP. Do you know what that means? ERP, CRM?
Enterprise. Yeah, ERP means enterprise.
Put you on the spot.
I just looked it up.
CRM means customer relationship manager?
Yeah.
customer portal software, UX design, UI design, user interface. They do it all. They are software solution engineers.
Enterprise resource planning.
I had moved on. I was giving you a get out of jail free on that one. Anyway, Two Fish Creative is your source for all things software, all things solution based in software. Carrie Bible, friend of the show, huge supporter of what we do, what we're trying to do. And I owe him a conservation isn't convenient shirt. Apologies, Carrie. That's coming. You can get Two Fish Creative by sending an email to info@two.fish, info@two.fish. Make sure that you reach out to Carrie. If you own a business of any kind, if you have any influence at a business of any kind, make sure you guys reach out to Carrie. It's worth the phone call. Like Emily has said before, if nothing else, it could trigger some ideas that may lead to some other things. So info@two.fish, keep and release brought to you by those guys. Nate, what is your release? You alluded to it earlier.
My release ties in with my what's new. And it's the price of these saddles. They are a little expensive.
Come on, hit me with the price.
$200 for like a piece of cloth that you put around your...
Like a loincloth. It's like a loincloth.
Sort of. But a loincloth that can keep you from falling to your death. So maybe there's some worth to that. But anyway, they're expensive. So that's my release.
Your release is the cost of the saddles that aren't actually saddles, that are these crazy things that you take into the woods that weigh 5 pounds less than a tree stand, that you could listen to any other podcast in America and hear everything about every week on a recurring basis. That's your release?
Yep. That's my release.
Can I make my release?
What's your release?
It might just be you after
that's
the
fine.
End of this conversation.
Go for it. Go for
my
it.
My release is, I don't know if we should let Emily go last, but we're going to. My release is trailer bearings. I got a trailer bearing this week.
Yep.
Like, first off, hub kits, bearing kits, it's just part of boat ownership. It's part of outdoorsman stuff, like travel trailers, whatever. Like, you just deal with it, right? But I got one this week on a used trailer. So this is not my doing, but I got a bearing on a trailer that fell apart. And I'm trying to get this trailer up and working, and I'm going to have to cut off the inner sleeve of the bearing off the axle. I couldn't get it off. Like, I've tried a sledge. I've tried everything under the sun. Can't get that sucker to budge. So I'm just over it. Like, it's 1,000 degrees outside. I'm outside working on trailer bearings, and that's not your favorite thing to work on anyway. But if everything goes right, once you've done it some, you can change them out in like 20, 25 minutes. Like, they can go pretty quick. This is not going as quick as I would like. It's taking up a lot more time of my life than I would like. But like I said earlier, it's part of the nature of owning boats and everything else. So that's my release. Trailer bearings on the surface of the sun. I wouldn't mind it so much if it was, you know, after dark, like February, like early February. Nothing going on there. Emily, what's your release? Don't just sit there and shake your head at me.
I wanted to see how long you could go on about bearings. My release is that no one will buy our bed.
Can you clarify that statement?
We have been trying to sell this king size bed for weeks.
Yeah.
And weeks.
Yes.
This bed is like $1,200 bed.
Yeah. Frame, and mattresses, the whole nine yards.
The whole nine. And like, nobody needs a bed in the world.
I've dropped like $200 on the price on Facebook. We're always trying to sell on Facebook Marketplace. Like, we're not putting a ton of effort into it, but at the same time, we want the space back. Someone gave us a bed and then we're remodeling.
Yeah.
And
so here's my question. Is it because Travis is posting it, do you think?
Is that weird?
Do you think it's weird that do you feel like a buyer would be more inclined to buy a bed from a woman than a man?
That would be a good social experiment. But I don't know. Maybe since like women are usually the furniture people of the house. I'm generalizing a lot here, right?
Yeah. Stereotypical much.
I'll take it.
That was offensive.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. So maybe it is something like that, but it would be an interesting social experiment to like someone put the same bed up.
I think it's because people are just weird about buying used mattresses.
Well, that could be too.
I think that's what it boils down to.
All right. Well, listen, Florida, this mattress has been in a cover for its whole life. So it's not really seen much.
Are you doing a mattress ad right now?
And if you need a mattress, let us know.
We're not doing a mattress ad on this podcast.
Call Fletcher Hallett at... Just kidding.
Emily, what is your keep since you're up and rolling with it?
My keep is... Oh, this is such a good one. We bought these things back in March and then COVID hit. And so we just got them. Okay. So, you know, like your power outlets that you plug into, there's the outlet on top, outlet on bottom. It's right. got the like the plate that covers it with a single screw. What right. we got are these new plates that you snap on. Like you take the old plate off, you snap the new one on. It's got two little arms in the middle. It like hugs the outlet, the electrical part in the wall.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And it's got little lights on the bottom of it in a sensor. So when it gets dark, the three little lights on the bottom of the faceplate come on. And it's like a little nightlight.
It's amazing.
It's darling.
It's interesting.
They're called, hang on.
We would put the link to the ones I bought, but the ones I bought in March from one of those like.
Snap Power.
Yeah. They came from like one of those Chinese third party, like resale. It's not like right. Amazon. It was on a Facebook ad that I clicked on. I also bought a Brussels sprout shutter the same day that came in like 3 days ago too. So
nice.
A lot of big wins for me in the last week as far as home
yeah.
improvement goes.
Stuff, yeah.
But
yeah,
these
yeah.
are really cool. They remind me of the movie theater, like when you're walking down the aisle at night. You know how you got these little soft lights?
Oh yeah, they got the little Yeah.
So we put them in our hallway, like in our living room, my office is kind of in a pass through room right now. So like you can stub your toe on any of the myriad of things that I have laying around in here. But now we got these little LED lights, and it's a big deal.
Anyway, I can't even tell you how much they are because Travis can't find how much he paid for them, but they are on Amazon. You can get a 2-pack for $28. I don't think we paid that much.
We paid like $35 for an 8 or 10 pack.
Yeah, so go scour the internets if you need them.
What is your keep, Nate?
So my keep is I got on a hunting lease near the house this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, boom.
Yep. Yep, yep. So, a guy I know, he lives out about 40 minutes from me, and he's hunted this property in the past, had permission on it, but the owners changed hands, and they decided to lease it. So he got a group of guys together, and we're gonna lease it. It's not very big; it's like 140 acres, but it's a great place where I could just like, it's like 40 minutes from the house, so I can just pop out there one afternoon or like hunt the morning and then come back and work or, you know, whatever. So, pretty excited about it. Hope to be getting working on it here in the next couple weeks. And we're going to try to do some like food plots and different things like that. So I'm excited about it. I think it should be a good opportunity.
Well, can we make fun of him now for hunting on a lease?
Dude, no. I think we beat him to death.
We can't.
I think the saddle conversation was enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it
that's
like,
fair.
Is it like Lederhosen?
No, it's not.
When you put it on?
Like Lederhosen.
I need a picture of this thing.
Well, you can look it up. It's all over the interwebs. So.
Yeah. Gosh, please don't let her Google things like that. My keep is, and I can't remember if I said this on the podcast yet or not, but my keep is Will of the 2-Minute Will. We went to the shooting range the other day. Did I tell you this?
I think you did tell me this, but maybe not on the podcast.
Okay, we went to the shooting range. And, you know, last year was the first year he started shooting a full-size shotgun, like an adult gun. And he killed his first duck out of the air last season. Well, now he's into it. And we went to the range, and he went like 11 first 12 or something, 10 first 11. Dude was smoking me. Like, I got a little sweaty. I mean, because it was 800 degrees, but also like I was getting a little sweaty, like my competitive juices started flowing.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get showed up by your son, you know?
Right. Although that's partially also like a cool dad thing. Like,
yeah, it's like a rite of passage, you know?
There's a paternal pride there of your competitive edge is you don't want to lose, but your paternal pride says, hey, I produced this kid that's now smoking me on the, he's better yeah, than me shooting true. Because he's got my genetics. And so he's, those are superior now.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Super fun. Looking forward to doing some more stuff like that this summer as we get ready to get into hunting season. You know, we're only like 2 months out.
Heck, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Deer season opens this month in South Florida.
Yeah, true. That's
how
right.
about them apples? Like, we're there. We're at the door. We're at the threshold. So I think that's everything I got. I think
that was a whirlwind.
It was a whirlwind. That's what we'll call this. The eye of the hurricane.
Oh, a tribute to
a tribute
Hamlet.
To Hamilton. Nice. No, not Hamlet.
Nice. Oh, Hamilton. That's actually a really funny slip up that I just made.
But hang with us next week. We will have a conversation on Thursday. I'm not sure which one I'm airing, but we will have a conversation this Thursday. Next week will be the irregular week because of iCast. We'll be doing a bunch of stuff with FWC. Make sure you check all those out and share those around because they'll really help some folks out. And then the week after, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. So,
bros and broettes, don't forget about the t-shirts. If you want one of the cool new Florida t-shirts, shoot us the email or hop on social media, find the post, place your order.
Yeah, like that design may come back around at some point, but that's, we're doing like a one and done for right now.
Totes and goats.
All right, Nate, get us out of here.
Hey, well.
If you were to draw a Venn diagram of podcasts in the wilderness category that talked about pellet grills, Florida legislation, Hamilton the musical, and saddle hunting, I'm pretty sure, in the words of Highlander, there would only be one. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we appreciate it if you leave us reviews, check us out on Patreon, tell friends about the show, share it wherever you can. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to check us out next week as we're going to be doing all the iCast stuff all the time with FWC. It's going to be a lot of fun next week. And we'll see y'all Thursday for conversations.